If you suggested to many one-off home dwellers that they would be happier or wealthier if their home location were swapped for a village or a town, I expect the vast majority would decline such a swap for perfectly legitimate reasons. The suggestion that people are or ought to be equally happier or happier to live in villages or towns simply does not ring true. Yes, one-off housing in rural areas may require greater transport needs in the form of cars, but there's little reason to expect inhabitants of villages or smaller towns will forgo access to private cars. When people greatly desire to live in rural settings, provided they have good telecommunications and basic access to energy, should we deny them that chance as a matter of policy? Stop demonising one-off rural housing. Not everyone wants to be surrounded by neighbours. That's the just excerpts of the article written by Independent Senator Michael McDowell, who's with us on the line. Senator McDowell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Thanks very much for joining me in the programme in relation to this. Now, you've been taking a look at this in terms of the way in which we lived and the way, I suppose, policy, if I can call it that, wants people to live. This is something we've talked about and argued about long, and many politicians have been on this programme arguing for a return to one-off housing. We've had others saying it's simply not sustainable. You're saying that's not the case. We should stop demonising people who want to live in rural housing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm not an extremist one way or the other. I'm not suggesting that anybody should be allowed to build a house wherever they want, regardless of the consequences for the beauty of a countryside or whatever else. But I am saying that there's a suggestion now, and particularly it comes from urban kind of academics and planners, saying that living in villages and towns makes more sense economically, in terms of you don't have to you can walk to the shops. You can walk to school. You can do a lot of things. Go to the doctor in your town or whatever on a bike or whatever. That's the argument that's made, and I understand that. But the other point is that a lot of people don't want that kind of life. And we see them on television when they're supposed to be a good thing. You see people who are who buy a sort of a rundown or derelict house in the middle of nowhere, cheap Irish houses, and they do a great job restoring it. And those people are actually opting to go to somewhere off the beaten track in many, many cases. And what I'm saying is that, living in a town or a village is fine for a lot of people, but it's not fine for others. And if people were given the choice, many people would like to get a quarter acre site and build a house or restore a house or whatever outside of town. So what I'm sort of giving out about is the orthodoxy that those people are sort of antisocial, unsustainable, and ignoring the imperative of green climate policy and the like.
Okay, and look, that's a fair point in terms of where people want to live and what their desire is. But somebody maybe has to run the country and has to keep an eye on the costs. And you mentioned there about wastewater in your column, and you mentioned about energy. Ireland has already a highly dispersed rural population. Widespread one-off housing from years gone by, obviously before the restrictions were put in place. Just on energy and our distribution network, and what EirGrid is in charge of, it requires four times the length of distribution wires per capita than the European average. It's a massive physical footprint, and it drives up the cost. One of the things we get in this programme every day is people going, why are we the most expensive country in Europe for energy costs and electricity costs? And one of the reasons is, I'm not saying the only one, is because of that network that we have built. It's far more spread out than anywhere else in Europe, so there's a cost to it.
Yeah, there is a cost to it. I mean, I'm not suggesting there isn't, but what I am saying is that, somebody living as I do in Dublin really has very little complaint if somebody in Kerry has electricity supplied to them back to the 1950s. I remember the Black Valley was the last place to get electricity in the 1950s or 60s. The reality is people want to live in various locations, And I mean, there are huge costs to urban living too that people forget about. I mean, we're about to spend at least 15 billion and maybe 20 billion on an underground from Swords to Dublin city centre. You know, we spend money on urban infrastructure all over the place, but nobody says, oh, well, country people are paying for that. Let's be fair about it, is what I'm saying. And just to take one example, a number of people have responded online to the article I wrote. And they've said, you know, we have one of the most diffuse populations, and therefore we have what they've said is a disproportionate amount of rural roads. And the cost of them is significant. Well, the roads are there, and unless somebody's suggesting that in the interest of the environment we should abandon roads, that road network is there. So why not let people use it? So if there's three houses on a road in rural Ireland, I mean, would it be a terrible thing if there was a fourth or a fifth house on that? And what's the additional cost in terms of roads? Likewise, you know, the provision of access to the internet, which is spread all over the country now, that program is there. So it's not an additional cost to
why not use it
in Dublin if somebody in Glencar gets access to broadband. It just isn't, you know. So there's a lot of people sort of using figures in a slightly mischievous way to suggest, you know, that really people in Glencar should move into Killorton. That's the answer. No, I don't accept that.
And you don't think the will is there either? For the point you made, it's an interesting one, I thought, is there's been, I think it's going back maybe even 20 years now, or maybe 15 certainly, to the first announcement of a regeneration of town centres and over-the-shop living. People are voting with their feet. They want to live in the countryside. Is that what's happening here, or is there just reluctance to do that, to live in town centres?
Well, I mean, I've seen towns like, say, Boyle in Roscommon, or Cloyne in Cork, which were old kind of market towns where shops have kind of dried flowers in the windows now, and it looks as if a lot of the premises above them are not being used. And I mean, there are opportunities if you wanted to move into towns, and people do on cheap Irish homes, I see, buy houses which are located in towns. And that's a perfectly legitimate choice. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's equally legitimate for somebody to say, I actually like living somewhere up around Mountain Stage. That's a nice place to live. And okay, there are extra transport costs. Okay, if I have kids, I'll have to bring them to school, or there'll have to be a school bus paid for by the community. All of that is true, but I'm saying it isn't kind of immoral in terms of climate policy for people to want to live a rural population to be spread out. And there are social costs the other way. I mean, GAA clubs in Roscommon, where I have a holiday home, they are struggling to get young people who will join the club and play in their teams. Their social existence is a kind of slowly winnowed away. If the post office disappears, if the local small convenience corner shop disappears in a village, if there's one pub less or whatever, all of those things are shrinking economic activity in rural Ireland. And I'm just making the point that there are social costs to that as well, and psychological costs, and people getting older and lonelier where there are no kids around.
Okay, Senator, final question. You mentioned in your piece that the government are seeking to liberalise this area. We've already had massive overhauls of our planning system, huge pieces of legislation passed. Do you think that's direction of travel? Are they going to go down the road you're suggesting and maybe ease things up on rural one-off housing?
Well, I think the Planning and Development Act, it's a massive piece of legislation. I think it's neutral on this subject. It depends on the policies and the policy guidelines that government and the Oireachtas approve in respect of these matters. And I really think that, you know, the government, I think, is finally waking up to the fact, Gerry, there's a very fashionable road near me in Dublin, not my road, I want to stress. And I saw recently, about a year ago, somebody bought a semi-detached house for 1.8 or 1.9 million. They flattened it, and they're building another house for, I'd say, another couple, 1 million anyway. And the thing you have to remember is that the site value of this very small site, you know, in terms of what most people would have in rural Ireland around their house, the site value was, after demolition of the whole thing, was about 2.1 million. You know, that's a cost which nobody talks about. And that's a one-off house, and it's built in Dublin. So I don't blame people who sort of say, you know, I could buy a site or buy a rundown house in rural Ireland and live in it, and I don't have to feel a conscience about doing it.
Okay, all right, fair point. Senator Michael McDougall, with his view on that, interesting column of the Irish Times, asking people to stop demonising those who are looking to build off one-off, I should say, rural housing. Thanks very much for joining us in the programme. That's Independent Senator Michael McDougall. If you review what he had to say, the argument that the cost to the state should be, you know, recognised, but at the same time there's a value to it, and that people shouldn't be all forced into towns and villages if they don't want to live there.